You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is now 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome in hour number two of the big program here on Wednesday, June 18th, 2025. It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is
Hump Day.
That's right. There's the old camel reminding us we're halfway through the week here in downtown Madison, the world headquarters. Overcast skies. A little few raindrops there, Mr. Zommers. Raindrops keep falling on my head. Can we look out at the old Sam Davidson street cam? Is that angled correctly or not?
I believe so.
All right. Just a second. Very good. We'll take a look here. With their umbrellas there as they're going down through State Street. Beautiful State Street here in downtown. Look at that. A little rain on the window, so it's a little blurry. But yeah, cars speeding along. Trees are very green, right? I went for a walk last night at Picnic Point on the University of Wisconsin-Madison campus. Beautiful night. Things are very green. Looks like it's an Endor, the planet of the Ewoks from Star Wars.
That's the right one.
Yeah, it looks a little bit like that. All right, very good. We'll check in. It'll be rainy skies, but then heating up. Going to be darn near 90 degrees by the end of the week and humid. It's going to be sultry here in the state of Wisconsin. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, our friend, our colleague, Earl Ingram Jr. is going to be joining us via StreamYard from Milwaukee, where tomorrow for Juneteenth, one of the largest Juneteenth celebrations in, I believe, the Midwest or the country, is going to happen in Milwaukee tomorrow. 1 year ago, Earl and I were out at Baraboo celebrating Juneteenth out there, so Earl will be in to give us the details on that. And in just a bit, what's worse, but sticking around for just a bit of hour number two here, our friend and ongoing contributor, he's our guest every Wednesday, former Republican like myself, now a senior advisor with the Lincoln Project, joining us from his home in suburban Washington, D.C. via StreamYard. Trigvy Olson. Trigvy, appreciate you sticking around.
Todd.
Yeah.
I have a list.
Of what?
Now I have names.
Oh, now. Hang on. Before you do this, let's set it up. In hour number one, we talked about two things. A, Republicans in the legislature looking at cutting at least $87 million from the UW system budget. We were the first to report on this on Monday night. And also talked about political extremism and political violence, about the tragedy, the assassination that happened in Minnesota. So what do you got?
All right. So we've got some guy, who's Hans H. that's in the state Senate? Do you know somebody named Hans H.?
Nope.
I don't know either. Rob Coles, Howard Markline, Patrick Teston. He graduated from Stevens Point. Andre Jacques.
Yep.
He went to UW-Madison. He graduated in 2003. Now I'm wondering, has the place changed since then, or was it a woke den of indoctrination then? Some guy, Rob Hutton, Whitewater, Nate Gustafson, Madison, Robin Voss, Whitewater, Janelle
Branchen.
Yeah, Rob Swearingen, Shane Barnett, Alex Dullman. And there may be more, according to it. And then you also have Brian Stile, who graduated from the UW-Madison Law School. That is just a partial list that the ChatGPT machine came up with. It also says that a John Jagler did not complete his degree from UW-Parkside, but did attend.
So is there, to your point, you have all these Republicans that were happy, apparently, to pay their tuition and be graduates of these fine University of Wisconsin system public universities, but now they want to cut $87 million because they say it's not good enough for other people.
Who's the president of the state Senate? Is it a Mary Fleszkowski?
Frakowski, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She graduated from the University of Wisconsin River Falls with a degree in bachelor's in economics and finance. There's also a state senator, Rob Staffs Holt?
I don't know.
R10? Schaffhold? He graduated from He attended both River Falls and Eau Claire.
All right. So the point is that they should
There's a bunch of them. I mean, this is just ridiculous. Just ridiculous.
Trigby is fired up today over this report that we were happy to and proud to first break on Monday night. The Republicans are looking to gut the UW system.
I'm very concerned, Todd.
Thank you.
There are a lot of Republicans who have been indoctrinated in communism.
Thank you, Susan Collins.
This could be a communist plot to undermine us.
Susan, Trigby is very concerned.
I'm very concerned.
Can I write a strongly worded email? All right, let's go to the phone lines.
At least most of them graduated, which is more than Scott Walker did.
All right, let's go to the phone lines, 855-752-4842. Out to Los Angeles, California, and L.A. Tom. L.A., always a pleasure. What say you?
Yeah, guys, I have a question for you. Are Republicans in power, are they just pinky, or are they just, everything comes back to them. Either they're obsessed with bathrooms, they're obsessed with gay people, they're obsessed with lesbians. I mean, they're obsessed with anything that has to do with sexuality. Is that because they've been so repressed over the years and they, when they went to college, they didn't really meet anybody outside of their own little circle or what? Because honestly, I mean, I'm to the point where I think they should ask Donald Trump a simple question. Donald Trump, are you a closeted gay man? Because you definitely love gay. You definitely love men.
There seems to be an obsession.
Strong men.
There seems to be an obsession. Trigby?
I will say my buddy Stuart Stevens, a fellow mm-hmm. Lincoln Project colleague, he often gets going about, and there is a lot of truth to this. I had never met so many gay men in my life until I got, went out and worked on Capitol Hill. Republican offices were full of closeted gay men. And it's kind of a strange phenomenon back then, Todd, and you and I've talked about this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I mean, I.
To your point, L.A.,
my thing is, whatever floats your boat, right? Like, I'm very libertarian, as you know.
Yeah.
So,
I do, too, but they keep talking about DEI and everything, that it's like,
yeah, I know.
Why don't they just come out of the closet already instead of being self-hating, gay, closeted men?
No, you're right. I mean, to your previous point,
legislating.
I mean, when I worked in the Capitol and also in D.C., Trigby's right. There were all kinds, particularly of gay closeted men. I was one of them for a while. And here's a sad fact for Todd. In all my years, I can honestly tell you I never hooked up with a closeted Republican. I think of the opportunities missed, in all those years. But, I mean, you're right. Stuart Stevens writes in one of his books that, it was all a lie, that to L.A. Tom's point, that they're so obsessed with anti-gay stuff, and either so many of the legislators or their staff are themselves gay and living in the closet. It's sick. I mean, I can honestly say I was never hypocritical about it. I was never anti-gay living in the closet back in the day. But I think he has a good point, Trigby, that some.
Well, you know who else makes that point all the time is my buddy Tim Miller, right?
Yeah.
Like, so Tim, Tim is gay and he makes that point in his book, right? Like, from that perspective of how many, and I think in your case, and I think in Tim's case, I don't want to put words in his mouth, like, the truth of the matter is, and regardless of what your truth is, one of the things I've learned in life is a lot of bad things happen when people don't feel comfortable living their truths, and a
Agreed.
Lot of people get hurt.
Agreed.
And, yeah, yep. Totally.
Is it, who's John Jett? Is that Cam? On
yeah.
Cam says, "Well, Grindr didn't crash at the RNC for no reason." That's true. That's actually true. Our friend Kristen did a whole segment on the fact that Grindr was going nuts at the RNC in Milwaukee. All right, it's 15. We want to quickly, let's get to that question, Zobbers, that was on Matt in Middleton, if Trigby can answer it quickly here. Matt in Middleton was talking about political extremism. Trigby, what can we do about this religious extremism in America? I think it's a big problem, as is money in politics.
Yeah, so, well, first thing that you can do is you can subscribe to my Substack, because just about every day, although today I didn't write, I have been putting out three things that people can do to stand up and fight for democracy and fight extremism. And I've also broken down what I've learned about extremism from around the world, which ironically, in some cases, got attacked viciously by extremists. But that I just kind of found that funny. Sort of like me having an opinion on how Jordan Love plays quarterback, right? If I knew what I was talking about, I'd probably be playing quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. But what do we have to do? The first thing that we have to do is everybody needs to think about what can they personally contribute to the cause. And the cause has to be, you know, it's not about you. It's about the people who've been succumbing to the extremism. And I say this in many ways. Donald Trump is sort of, whether they realize it or not, and I probably take a lot of flack for this, there's a lot of Americans who are in an abusive relationship with Donald Trump, because he isn't ultimately serving their interests, but they're sticking with him. Mm-hmm. It's not about you. Like, if you've ever dealt with somebody who's in an abusive relationship, attacking the abuser isn't what helps. You got to ask them questions and lead them to find in themselves that they're being abused. And so a lot of it is about, how do we engage with people, not by preaching at them, but by getting them to think with their conscious part of their brain about the cognitive dissonance that exists? And I mean, one example is the tariffs. 73% of the 10% of jobs in Wisconsin under threat from tariffs, the 74% of those people voted for Donald Trump. You have to be asking him about that. Same thing with this thing about attacking the UW system. You know?
Yeah. Well said.
If you have somebody in your community who's a nurse or like these legislators who went to the UW system, ask them questions. Were you indoctrinated, Robin? And if so, here's my question, Robin. If so, why didn't you do something about it? Because quite frankly, the path you chose to go down has had more ability to impact from college forward the UW system than anybody, with the exception of probably Tommy Thompson.
True.
So, all right. Why did you allow this to happen, Robin?
Robin Voss, Trigby Olson.
Come on the show, Robin. It's been a long time. And honestly, I will be nice.
It's going to be a big bin of butter popcorn and a throwdown. All
Jack,
right, it's 18
nice.
Past the hour of 3.
I can't guarantee you Todd will
time
be nice.
Once again, for what's worse,
snippy.
Let's go. All right, time once again for what's worse. No prize money involved, nothing to give away, just your opportunity to have your voice heard across all 11 stations on the Civic Media Ready Network. Going to give you the question, take your answers on the other side of the break. What's worse, the category today, Tricky, what's worse, people who are critical of others or people who are not critical of others? People who are critical of others, people who are not critical of others. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842, or you can text us on the Civic Media app. 45 seconds, Trigby. What's worse?
People who are not critical of themselves.
Well, that's not part of the category.
Well, it's this or that, but
no,
I'm going this or that or that. Which is worse?
What's worse or the other thing?
Yeah. Well, honestly, the crack team. Can I think about it through the break?
Yeah, you can absolutely think about it through the break. You're going to think about it. Zomer's going to think about it. We're going to pop up some Robin Voss popcorn here, put some extra butter on, since he's a little slick right now up there at the state capitol. Come back, answer the question, call in, text, people who are critical of others or people who are not critical of others. What's worse? 855-752-4842. Your calls, your texts on the other side. It's the All Ball Show for a Wednesday across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, Mustard on the beat, Debo in rap. He a freak throat, man, damn, Carla Amber Lamb.
tell him breathe, bro. Nella new to the cross, he walk around like Tizo. What's up with these jabroniers?
Welcome back to the Scott Almost Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 past the hour of 3 o'clock. You dial up Snoop Zommers.
No, it's Kendrick Lamar, not like us, because it's a diss track. So if you're talking about being critical of people, a diss track is...
It sounded a lot like Snoop to me.
I can see where you're coming from with that.
I don't listen to it. I listen to virtually no rap. So, you know, that shows how what an idiot I am. 855-752-4842, the What's Worse category today. People who are critical of others or people who are not critical of others. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. As Trigby said, this is a category today that might make people think a little bit. A little bit self-reflective, perhaps. I don't know. 855-752-4842. 855-742-4842. John, listening on WMDX, our old friend John, says, got to be critical of others when necessary to start conversation and hold them accountable for their words and actions, all while creating a buzz to inform others. Wish the media would do more of this 24/7. Thank you, John. Appreciate that. Jim, listening in Brookfield, WAUK, says, for the sake of my marriage, I have to say people who are not critical of others are worse. Otherwise, my wonderful wife will be critical of my answer. Jim from Brookfield. Appreciate that, Jim. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Jimmy, listening on WMDX in Madison. People who are critical of others or people who are not critical of others. Jimmy, what's worse?
Oh, definitely people who are critical of others. But I also like them to be qualified. You know, like, for instance, there was a time I remember when everybody that ran for the Tea Party barely had a college education, but they all ran and criticized and wanted to tear stuff down. But if you're qualified, I can take the criticism.
Right.
If you have experience, I can take the criticism. But watching people who have no interest in governing, watching people who have no interest in being making things good for the American people, it's just destructive and it's crazy.
Yeah,
I can remember when Republicans were talking about being the party of family, but it seems like, and this was a few years back, but it seemed like every other month a Republican was either getting caught in the bathroom, they were getting caught with pages, they were right. It's just the hypocrisy of it all. So, you know, and it's just like listening to Donald Trump. You know he doesn't know. But yet all of the media, it seems, news outlets, talking heads, they are wasting hundreds of thousands of precious hours talking about this. And he absolutely means nothing to us because it's just grifting. And all of his friends see that that's a powerful thing to do and you can get away with it.
Right.
And they're doing it.
Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate the call. 855-752.
I think Jimmy has the best radio voice I've ever heard.
It was. It was a great radio voice. Jimmy, have you ever, is Jimmy still there? Jimmy, have you done radio before? Jimmy is not there. All right. Well, Jimmy, if you're listening, Trigby and I vote you as the best radio voice of the day, including me, who's paid to do this on radio. Well said, Jimmy. 855-752-4842. Brian, listening on WGBW in beautiful Green Bay. We were just up there last week. Great crew up there at GBW, says, I refuse to be critical of this question. All right. Cam, listening to Appleton, my wife's boyfriend is pretty critical, not a fan. Len, listening to Madison on WMDX, people who are not critical of others may be worse for society as a whole.
That's my stance. Just because that I'm jumping in now for my answer because Len worded it better than I was going to. Mm. Yeah, people who are not critical of others may be worse for society as a whole because that's how we end up with people like Robin Voss in charge, where if you don't look at what he's saying and say, huh, that doesn't add up, then you just let terrible things happen.
Right. Heather, listening in Eau Claire on Facebook, says, in this day and age, I need a caveat that these critical thoughts are based on facts. But honestly, the combo of being Gen X and a woman of a certain age, i.e. menopause, I don't have time for milquetoasty people. So those who are not critical are worse. Don't ask me if you don't want to know.
I agree.
Trigvi, people who are critical of others or people who are not critical of others, what's worse?
I guess not critical.
People who are not critical of others. All right.
Yeah, I still think people who aren't critical of themselves are the worst. But
well, yeah, that's probably true. Yeah. I'm just looking here. David New Berlin says people who are critical of others are worse. I'm not entirely confident that people that are critical of others are able to acknowledge their own shortcomings. There you
totally
go, Trigvi. See?
Yeah, that's a good point.
See, that's kind of what Trigvi was saying there. Scott, listening in Madison on WMDX, says people who are not critical of others end up voting for people like Trump. So, yeah, lack of critical thinking is worse. Greg in beautiful Genesee Depot on WAUK says people who are not critical of other people are worse. Kurt in Madison, the thing just skipped there. Kurt Madison says, what's worse when we say others, which I think includes politicians, then it would clearly be those who do not criticize. All right.
Kim in Appleton also says, critical is fine if critical people can admit when they are wrong. Also, Todd, your camera is slanted and you're slouching and you have cookie dust in your beard.
I don't have cookie dust in my beard.
I know. He's just joking around about criticizing.
Well, the camera is, we bought the camera at Walmart and it sits on top of a thing and it's kind of cockeyed. It's like the seamstress that couldn't menstruate. She was cockeyed. Anyway, Trigvi, so there we go. There's another edition of What's Worse. We appreciate everybody for playing along. That was a lot of fun. Trigvi, thanks for hanging around and for bringing us your insight as always. You'll be watching the Packers. On next, our friend Earl Ingram Jr., who's a big Detroit Lions fan. So I'm worried. I think the Lions could give us the Packers some trouble this year. They're good.
Whatever, Todd.
Wow. No respect for the Lions. We'll find out what Earl Ingram thinks about that. And more importantly, what's happening in Milwaukee for Juneteenth. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 35 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here. And whenever you hear that music, you know that our friend, our colleague, Civic Media's own Earl Ingram Jr. cannot be far behind. And I'm pleased to announce, such is the case today, we welcome via StreamYard from the Milwaukee area, Mr. Earl Ingram, joining us live. Earl, thanks so much for coming on.
I'm honored and privileged to have the opportunity to share time with you once again.
The privilege and honor is ours, Earl. Which we were talking before we came on the air about a year ago. Tomorrow is Juneteenth. A year ago on Juneteenth, you and I were up in Baraboo, Wisconsin, in southwest Wisconsin, for their first annual celebration, as it turns out, on a day similar, at least in Madison, like it, a little drizzly out here. But boy, what a great day that was, Earl, to see that community of southwest Wisconsin come together to celebrate Juneteenth. And then I would say, at least personally for me, equally as fun was just spending some time hanging out with you. We went around Devil's Lake State Park, had a meal together, and it was just a great day of sharing and hanging out.
You know, man, what it really was, you know, we live in the same state, and people can be so far away and not really get to know one another. And that opportunity we got to share with one another was precious. And it just goes to show that, you know, as big as the earth is, you know, we don't have to stay so separated. And you get a chance to meet each other in different environments. And that's always good. That's always positive. And if we can do that more on a global scale, we wouldn't be, you know, facing the kind of things that we face as human beings.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. I want to offer you an apology on the air, Earl, because we had this great meal. We hung out last year and we said, we need to do this more often. And I have been remiss in making this happen more often. And I want to apologize to you and tell you, we got to have these conversations on the air and off, but particularly on the air more often. That's going to be my goal moving forward, if you're willing to do it, because of what you just said. The more that we talk to one another, even though we may have come from different places or have differences, I think that's the best medicine, or at least a large part of the medicine, to heal what's going on in this country and this state right now.
You know, if we don't communicate one with the other, then we stay estranged. And, you know, we're looking at the things that are going on in the world right now, and at the root of most of those is misunderstanding of other human beings. And the answer certainly can't be because we don't communicate one with the other that then we rely on destroying one another. I mean, that's barbaric at its core. But, you know, I would be honored. And, you know, thank you very much for the invitation.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Zomers, let's make sure that you hold me accountable. Let's do that. On the lighter side, quickly, we had our friend Trygve Olsen on, who likes to brag about being one of the millions of Green Bay Packer owners. And I brought up the fact, of course, that you're a Detroit fan, and he dissed a little bit. I'm going to say I'm worried about the Lions, Earl, this year.
Well, you know, it's strange you say that. I had a pretty long conversation with the grave digger this morning.
Gilbert Brown, who he knows very well.
Absolutely. You know, we are preparing to resurrect the Gilbert Brown football camp in the city of Milwaukee, which we did for 16 years prior to COVID. And so COVID shut that down. Well, on July 7th, we'll kick off our 16th year of that free football camp. Gilbert Brown, the grave digger himself, makes that happen, makes that possible, and thousands of young boys and girls will get an opportunity who don't know anything about Gilbert Brown, but get a chance to be engaged in a 3-day camp that we'll be, you know, sponsoring.
And that's one of the many things I love about you and about what you've done in the Milwaukee area, because you're just one of those guys, Earl, that says, here's something that needs to be done. Let's just do it. you get things done in the Milwaukee area, in your community, and I just thank you for that.
Well, you know, man, at the root of it is what I want. I grew up in the 1960s, you know, as a young boy, and I was experiencing community at its best. And I am who I am because of that community. It's safe. It certainly was together, and it kind of made me who I am. And so children today don't have that opportunity. Technology and all sorts of other things take them away from those kinds of things. And in the years that I have left, my goal has been, along with others, to do everything in possible for us to make sure that they have a better opportunity at life. And I think that's kind of like passing the baton is the verbiage that's used a lot, but it clearly is. And I always tell people in my community that unless we pull together as a community and make sure that those who come after us have a better opportunity in life, then the future is not very bright.
I couldn't agree with you more, Earl. B, he's much too modest. You know, these phrases like, oh, whatever time I have left, like he's some kind of an old guy. I'm telling you, we were up at the Baraboo Bluffs last year, and anybody's gone to Devil's Lake State Park, you have these granite steps that are built in, and we're hiking up, and Earl's about, 15, almost 20 years older than me. And Todd's going to, and Earl's just like, come on, man. Come on. You're in fantastic shape, or you're in fighter shape.
Well, for a guy that will soon be 71.
Wow.
People can't believe that I'm that age. I'll tell you, I don't feel it. I don't feel a day older than 70.
Well, you're beating the butt of a 55-year-old, I'll tell you that much. First of all, before we get to Juneteenth, Earl, first, Jim in Brookfield, listening in on WAUK, says, hi, Earl, where can I get a woke hat like the one you're wearing for those not watching on the stream, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube? Earl's wearing this great hat that says woke. Is that a custom-made piece, Earl? Are you launching a new line of hats, of clothing, an Earl Ingram Jr. line?
Well, you know, it is kind of custom-made, and I had it made at the height of the discussion on woke because I know the true definition of woke before somebody changed it. Mm-hmm. And so the definition of woke, I don't care whether it's Rosé's Thesaurus or, you know, Webster or whichever dictionary you look in, there's already been a definition for woke. It's perceptive and somebody who, you know, basically is aware. And even though people have changed the definition of it, I'm very comfortable in making sure that people see me with my woke hat.
Yeah.
And it's always good to hear from Jim from Brookfield. So, yeah. Jim, it's always good to hear from you, my friend.
Absolutely. Earl, I think it's always good. We have these celebrations for a reason, and that is to commemorate things. I think it's always good just to take a step back, as our friend Matt Flynn likes to say. He likes to say, Matt Flynn, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. I think he's right about that. So give us a little bit of history, Earl Ingram, on Juneteenth and the origins and what this really means.
Well, I can tell you that I never knew. I wasn't taught anything about Juneteenth Day when I was in school.
Really?
And absolutely not.
Wow.
And, you know, that's what's so ironic about it is that we're facing a time right now where the history is being erased. We've got a president of the United States who thinks that all of that history should be wiped away and people should never know. But Juneteenth Day, June 19th, 1865, when Union soldiers arrived in Galveston, Texas, to announce the end of slavery and, you know, the day that blacks were freed. Now, you know, most people would say, well, why do you guys need to have, and I've heard this said, a separate day, 1776, the birth of American Independence Day, is our celebration, and that's the day that all of us, you know, should celebrate. Why do you have to have a separate day? Well, that day, 1776, the birth of, you know, America's independence didn't include black people.
Mm-hmm.
And so black people weren't set free at that point in time. So it was, again, 1865 when the Union soldiers arrived in Galveston, Texas, 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation was issued by then President Abraham Lincoln, on July 1st, 1863, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so it it said that all enslaved people in Confederate territory were then free. But 2 years later, that information still hadn't reached Texas, Galveston, Texas, and people were still being enslaved. So it was at that point in time that finally the Union soldiers were able to make it down to Texas and make sure that people were made aware that they were no longer slaves. 2 years mm-hmm. after the Emancipation Proclamation, and celebrations began at that point in time. And, you know, there's 250,000 or so black people in America who were enslaved at that point in time. And so they were, for the first time in their lives, declared free.
What I find, and thank you for that history lesson, number one. Number two, maybe the most fascinating thing you said so far, at least on that part there, was at the beginning of it. I mean, I'm, as you know, I grew up in Southwest Wisconsin, a town of 5,000 people. We literally had one black family in our school district. And I went to, you know, grade school, high school in the 70s and 80s. So I never was taught about Juneteenth. But to hear you as a black person growing up and saying that you never heard about it growing up in school either, that's A, fascinating, and B, just so sad that we're not, you know, there's so much opportunity to do better, to teach kids where they came from and why, so that everybody knows the history, so we can appreciate, because we all got a journey, Earl. Doesn't matter where we came from. We all got a journey, and I think we need to do more to respect each other's journey.
Well, I think more than anything else, this history needs to be taught to all children, mm-hmm. and not just to black children, because
100%.
You know, as long as people aren't made aware, can you imagine? I think sometimes about my ancestors, and what they went through. And to finally, you know, hear Abraham Lincoln and you know, the Emancipation Proclamation and all of those things, mm-hmm. and finally be freed of one of the worst chapters in the history of mankind, and yet still not be free is a calumny. And I'll just say this, the past is the past, and people will say, is better left in the past. But my response to that always is, if you listen to Jewish people, they'll say, never forget the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. And yet people are telling people of color that happened such a long time ago, we need to get beyond that. Why are you bringing that up? Well, again, it was a part of the history of our nation, mm-hmm. and it should never be forgotten.
Stay tuned, more with Earl Ingram Jr. on the other side. Talk a little Juneteenth and other things here as well. Don't go anywhere. It's Earl. It's Todd. It's the Civic Media Radio Network all across the state of Wisconsin. Back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 8 minutes before the hour, the top of the hour, the top of the hour. At 4 o'clock, it's going to be ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to. A little weather update, Brittany Merlot. Drizzly today, that is going to heat up by the end of the week. 90 degrees or close to that, maybe heated indexes near 100. By the end of the weekend. And then our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, will be in with a sports update. And then the Maggie Dawn Show across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network from 4 until 6, followed by Pete Schwabba and Nightlight from 6 until 8. And then after that, it's our friend Robert Pilot with Native Roots Radio. Right now being joined by Earl Ingram Jr. here of Civic Media, talking a little Juneteenth. But Earl, I want to pick up on something before we move to tomorrow's Milwaukee celebration. You were speaking so well, eloquently, about the need for education of our young people, just talking about the lack of teaching about Juneteenth in our schools. But Robert Pilot has brought up as well that we don't do enough in our school systems and teaching our youth about the true, a lot of revisionism these days on the history of Native Americans in this country. And I just think that we all function better. We were talking off the air, the importance of getting to kids. I don't care whether it's behavioral or education or whatever, when they're young, through programs like yours, because we become better adults, and it's a lot better to invest in kids when they're young than try to turn around bad behavior as they get old.
And a lot cheaper.
Right.
And I would agree with the gentleman, the Native American.
Robert Pilot, yeah.
If you know their history, and you know the history, the fact that our nation has erased what transpired in this country is really shameful. And what's to be gained mm-hmm. in the long run by not telling that history? The Native Americans had some ways and some things that they did and that they understood about the beauty of this land to always leave it better mm-hmm. after they left. When they would come to a place, they were very much concerned about making sure that once I left this place is in a better position than it was before I got here. And I think our nation could learn a lot from that. Mm-hmm. And so that history needs to be, again, resurrected.
100%. Talk to us a little bit, Earl. Juneteenth proper is tomorrow. I know you couldn't come on tomorrow because you're going to be busy. Tell us a little bit about the activities down in the great city of Milwaukee tomorrow, please.
So I'll be at Juneteenth. I'll start probably at about 7 o'clock, and I'll be there to at least 4 p.m., 5 p.m. Juneteenth day, there'll be 30 to 40,000 people.
Wow.
Inside of an 8 to 10 block radius. If you can wrap your arms around the majesty of having 30 to 40,000 people gathered inside of that 10 block radius for the majority of the day. Milwaukee is the largest Juneteenth festival in the country. Milwaukee is one of the oldest Juneteenth festivals in the country. I remember at 16 years old going to my first Juneteenth Day celebration. I think I might have missed one, mm-hmm. but over 51 years I've been there And it is a wonderful, wonderful time where, you know, people who sometimes have a difficult time, you know, getting together and doing things collectively, it is a day that all of that is set aside. And our children and the elders get to interact, which we don't do enough of. And on that particular day, all the rest of the garbage and junk is swept under the rug, and people understand the importance of what this is all about.
Yeah. 2 minutes left, Earl Ingram. What have I not asked you yet? Do you want to make sure that people across the state know about Juneteenth or about the activities tomorrow?
Well, that people should understand that this, for those who say, you know, why do you need a special holiday? Well, because of the things that transpired in this country. And so when you talk about the 4th of July and why can't we all just celebrate the 4th of July? Because we weren't all equal on that day. And to some extent, we're still not that today. But Juneteenth Day is an opportunity, again, for my community to accept one another, to know about our riches. Part of what Juneteenth Day is about is teaching the history to our children and bringing the ancestors back to life and having the elders interact with the children. And so if we could do that every day, it would certainly transform and change our communities by having the elders and the young people. Even though we've become further apart, you know, together, even if for only this one day.
Really appreciate you, Earl. Appreciate all your work down in the Milwaukee area. Excited to hear that you and Gilbert Brown are restarting this camp for young people, both boys and girls in the Milwaukee area. You're doing more than your part to make this state great, and we appreciate you and appreciate all the work you continue to do here at Civic Media. Thank you, my friend, for being with us today.
Thank you for the invitation, man. Talk to you later.
Talk to you soon. Thank you very much. Earl Ingram, right. Jr., everybody. Bye-bye. My pleasure. Thank you, Earl. Also, many thanks as well, not only Earl, to Pat Kreitlow, host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, every morning from 6 until 8, who was on the program in the first hour, and to Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Also, thanks to Aaron Zommers, a great producer as well, and, of course, to Earl Ingram, Jr., for being here on the show, and all of you for listening. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next. This is Todd reminding you that whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you tomorrow and recombobulate with Dan Schaefer on tomorrow's show. Until then, make it a great day.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.